This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to the fastest 15. So now it's the gamma variant that we got to worry about. So we started with the alpha. Then a few weeks ago, they told us the delta. The good news with all the variants is that the vaccination works on them. But you got to go get vaccinated, they keep telling us, which I've done. But now I guess the delta variant didn't scare enough people. So now we're on to the gamma variant. I will tell you, I really think that what's going on right now with the vaccinations, and all of us who wanted to get vaccinated are vaccinated. They're starting, you know, vaccinate children. The World Health Organization yesterday said children should not be vaccinated. But the CDC says, oh, no, children should still be vaccinated. They want to get it down to 5 years old for the vaccinations. I truly believe that what's happening now, the vaccinations are fine for the older people, the people who were in a, you know, comorbidities, high risk category. I think what's going on with the vaccines right now is one of the great corporate scandals in the history of the United States of America. I think that, you know, between working with politicians and doctors to jab children is, I just think it's criminal. You know, and I'm looking at Moderna's stock price. At the beginning of 2020, Moderna's stock was less than $19 a share. At the end of today, Moderna stock, it was 19 at the beginning of 2020. Today, Moderna stock is $212 a share. It's gone up about 13-fold. The value of the company, the market cap, it was about less than $8 billion. Moderna's market cap is now $85 billion. More than 10-fold increase. And they got to keep the revenues going, though. They got to keep the earnings up because they certainly had a banner 2020 and first quarter of 21, mainly the first quarter of 21. But how do you keep the earnings up? Well, they need new customers. And so they're injecting children now. And they're getting, and the World Health Organization, which everybody loved when Donald Trump said they can't be trusted. And now everybody hates them because they're saying you shouldn't vaccinate children. I mean, the way that emotions have been manipulated through this whole thing is I just believe that at some point in my lifetime, this part of the COVID epidemic, I believe this part of it is going to go down as one of the greatest scandals in our nation's history when it comes to corporate and what they're doing to children. And I am not an anti-vaxxer, but this is just that alpha variant, the delta, now the gamma. Ooh, go get injected. The gamma's here. Get your kids injected. You don't want your kids to give gamma to grandma. Hey, that was pretty good. Okay. All right. With that, I have more Mir Prelude. So we're going to do this in the big lead at 2 because it's a local crime story. But a member of our show staff is the victim in this local crime story. Sean DeTore, don't give away too much. But what's the little tease you can give us about the story we're going to lead with at 2 o'clock here today?
Yeah, sure. So the tease would be, let's see, on this past Monday, after getting my second shot, fully vaxxed, yoo-hoo, I hop on the local D-Line from downtown Seattle.
I'd prefer if you called it the Delta variant line.
But, oh, sure. Okay, yeah, ahead. The Delta variant line from downtown to Ballard. And I had quite an interesting slash scary experience with another passenger who just started something with me out of the blue.
Ooh, that's a good tease.
Thanks, man.
Okay, and I honestly have not heard the story because I wanted to wait.
Cool.
Nicole's heard it, and I said, don't tell me. I want to hear it on air. So we'll hear what happened to Sean in the big lead at 2 coming up next. And then one other thing before I get to all the news stories. I got a lot of stuff going on today. So, Nicole, guess who posted another video on YouTube today?
Oh, I wonder.
For about 3 weeks. And I know most people have no idea who I'm talking about. But then there are a bunch of people who do. But my favorite guy on YouTube is a guy named Rick Beato. And he just posted another video today. And I've been asking for about 3 weeks if we can get him. And so what's been the big stumbling block here?
I just haven't got a response. So I've reached out on every platform I've found, which is he has a couple different websites. He's got lots of social media. I've reached out everywhere. And I have not heard back, but today he did follow me back on Instagram. So I'm hoping that means he's considering a response.
Okay. And here's the thing with this guy. He takes songs and he breaks them down by component parts and by individual instrument. And it's just fabulous. And I don't know anything about music. I know nothing about chord progressions. I listen with the most unsophisticated ear. And now, after months, and sometimes I'll watch these videos for a couple hours at night, and now I'm hearing music differently. Let me give an example. This is the one that posted today. So there is a song that I've heard probably 1,000 times. It came out in the early 80s by Sergio Mendez. It was a song called Never Gonna Let You Go. And I never really cared for it. I never really paid attention to anything with the song. But it starts out like this. I know it sounds like just soft rock stuff, but this is going to be worth it, trust me.
I was as wrong as I could be to let you get away from me. I'll regret that move for as long as I'm living. But now that I've come to...
They'll give you an idea here. So I hear that and I think, that's a... soft AC song, and I'm not really crazy about it, and doesn't sound exceptional to me at all. So this Rick Beato guy posts a video today, and he says that this might be one of the most complex songs in the history of popular music. And so he's got his guitar. He's an incredible instrumentalist on a variety of instruments, but he's got his guitar. And he explains, and again, I know nothing about chord progression. I don't know what a sus chord is. I probably don't even... I noticed the difference between major and minor, but I don't notice transitions between them. So listen, from that song you just heard, listen to what this guy does in his... And he spends 20 minutes breaking down this song. I'm just going to give you a few seconds of it here.
So we start out in F sharp minor, right? So dun 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 dun. That's just the intro. Then the verse, right? And then. Then there's this. And then. Okay, now we're really getting into uncharted territory. I'd never seen a song that went through so many different chord changes. This is just the beginning of this. This is like the most confusing thing ever, right?
And I never heard any of that. I've heard that song 1,000 times, and I never have heard any of the stuff that he just talked about. But that's why I say I listen to music differently now, because it's like this doctoral class in how to break songs down. So anyway, I hope we can get him. If he doesn't do much radio stuff, that's fine. But I'm fascinated with this guy. So and like you say, he spends 20 minutes on the video he posted today breaking down this one song. And I didn't have time to watch all 20 minutes this morning, but it's just fascinating to me that just how the human brain works so differently. I mean, I'm fascinated by musical savants and by savants in other pursuits. And, you know, my brain works differently when it comes to numbers and math than most people's. And that's kind of cool and fun. But anyway, this guy, when it comes to music, just that's something else, man. Okay, so we're trying. Nicole's trying really hard. Okay, and should we do this now, Nicole? This archive thing?
Well, now that you've mentioned it.
Well, I mean, I want to make sure that I give it enough time. So our good friend, Felix Spinell, great historian, fills in on so many shows here on Cairo, and he's just a really good guy. I love Felix. He produced my live shows, and he's fantastic. So he sent Nicole and me an email this morning with an audio attachment. I have not listened to this. I just sent it to Nicole, and I said, is this worth playing on the air? Because we're expected to have temperatures in the hundreds this weekend here in Seattle. And so, as I understand it, this is from, 2008, 2009, somewhere back there?
Yeah, I believe it's July 2009.
Okay. And just as kind of a preface on this, I have people at the radio station who, actually, I don't think we have too many anymore, who weren't crazy about my show. And one of the things they would always say is, you've gotten meaner, or, you know, some nonsense, because if I know that my show is softer in tone than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago, I know that for certain. And what I say to everybody is, no, I haven't gotten different. I said, the things that I criticize have moved so far to the left that my show, even though it's softer in tone, it might seem like the gap is bigger, because it is, but it's not because of me. It's because the things that I criticize have moved so far to the left. So, and then Nicole, you listened to this and you said, well, should I just play it?
Yeah, I think you can just play it. But yes, we did have that discussion about how people say that you might sound angrier now. And if this was you, this is you before Nicole. And yeah. I think that nothing has changed in a sense, which it's not a slam or anything. It's just saying, you know, you've kept the same tone, and it's not a bad tone. It's just a no nonsense tone.
I can't wait to hear this. Okay, so this is the last time we had temperatures approaching 100 degrees back from July of 2008.
Sometimes even here, it gets cold for a few days, and sometimes it gets hot for a few days. And you got one of two choices. You can be a whiny little puke like everybody I've been listening to for the last couple of days. It's so hot. I can't sleep at night. It's miserable. It's so sticky. You know what? Go to Houston for a week. You want sticky? Go to Chicago. Go to Baltimore. Go to the Deep South. You want hot? Go to Vegas. Go to Scottsdale. That's real heat. But here in the Puget Sound area, We have elevated this weather wimpiness, quimbiness to an art form. It gets to be 25 degrees and a couple inches of snow. I can't drive anywhere. I've been paralyzed. I've been stuck in my home. There's snow on the ground. Then it gets above 85. I know, it might get above 100 today. It's only for a couple days. Just relax. Just chill. Get it?
Yeah, I wouldn't use some of those phrases.
It wouldn't be funny if it wasn't
today.
True.
I wouldn't call somebody a whiny little puke today. I don't use that. That's not part of my repertoire anymore.
No, you told them to not be. Or that was a choice they were making.
I wouldn't even use that phrase today. I really have softened. Nobody believes that I've softened. Crying out loud. Again, here's 13 years ago in the heat.
This coming from people who claim to be so hardy. Oh, yes, we're from hardy stock. We're the sons of timbermen and fishermen here in the Pacific Northwest. That's the way people talk. But you, man, you throw a 95-degree day at them, and it's so sticky, I can't sleep. I had to blow a fan over ice chips. Just shut up already. Yeah, it's warm. It is warm. It might even be uncomfortably warm. That's life. Deal with it. Shut up about it.
See, I wouldn't say that today.
Yeah, maybe not so many shut ups happen on the show. And the next one for sure doesn't happen often because I discourage it from happening.
I don't even know what's coming. Okay, so 13 years ago, in similar heat, this show on TV News.
TV News? I love watching that. You know, the inane banter between, well, Jeff, you've certainly produced an uncomfortable day for us. Yes, because as the weatherman, I'm the wizard, and I wave my cape, and the weather is whatever I decree. And I want it hot.
I'm so much nicer today. I'm so much kinder. I'm so much gentler. And now we have audio proof. Whenever somebody comes and says, your show's too mean, we'll just play that for them.
There you go. So you could be dealing with 2009, Dory.
And you said that the other thing Nicole said, because after that setup, then we opened up the phone lines and you said that you're glad we don't take calls anymore.
Thank goodness. Great radio back then.
All right, that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast, Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Hey, it's Wednesday afternoon. That's when Brock Huard drops by for a visit. So we will connect with Brock next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Huard.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Where the 12s hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline. Reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
And yes, Brock Huard joins us on this gorgeous Wednesday afternoon. Temperatures rising toward 100 degrees this weekend. Don't you miss Seattle now, Brock?
So nice. So hot.
Yeah. I like heat.
How's your tan? How you looking these days?
I'm looking good.
Yeah.
Looking good. In fact, Wyman just sent a text from a website that they do bios of different people. And a listener sent this to me last week. According to this website, I'm 6'2" and 152 pounds. What are you laughing? No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not 6'2".
No, not even. No.
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah, I know you've been working on it. So down to 152. That sounds about right. Yeah.
I'm working on it. Heading that direction. Absolutely. Hey, did you hear the news from your old home, though, that's out today?
No.
We had the alpha variant of COVID-19.
Delta.
Well, no, we had alpha to begin with. And then they wanted to make sure more people would get the vaccine, so they told us the Delta variant had arrived. And according to the CDC, we're over 70% 18 plus, but we are in a very sick way trying to inject children to keep the stock price up of the pharmaceutical companies. So we're only 68% 16 plus, according to Jay Inslee. And so now today we find out the Gamma variant has arrived in Washington.
And you know, the thing about all these variants, the vaccines work and your immunity works. And if you've had it like I have and you have durable, long-lasting antibodies, it works against these variants because these variants are 99% like the virus. So, gosh, it's remarkable.
Has Gamma come to Colorado yet?
I'm not sure. Alpha, Gamma, Delta. I think I saw that sorority. I think I saw them somewhere.
Excuse me. My wife and all three of my daughters are AGDs.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I was just making that up. I didn't even know that was a sorority. I only knew the Delta, Delta, Delta. How can I help you, help you, help you? That's the only one that I knew.
My first date with my wife, we just had our 34th anniversary on Saturday, but my first date was 38 years ago, and it was an Alpha, Gamma, Delta.
Wow.
Dance that she invited me to.
Congratulations. And by the way, that avatar or that bio that had you at 6'2", a buck 52, I think that was your wedding day. I saw that picture. I texted it to Molly. I said, isn't this cute? That was such a cute little picture of you and Miss Suzanne.
I know. What was that? I should have put product in my hair, though. What else is going on?
Well, I got to ask you something. I mean legitimately, because I'm trying to understand this as best I can.
Yes.
So I look like the Mariners I was watching last night. It looks like now they have kind of done away with the masks and and maybe even the vaccinated sections.
Yes.
I'm trying to understand, if you were vaccinated, why would you want to sit with everybody else vaccinated? Like, if you've been vaccinated, you've been vaccinated, right? It's kind of like these NFL players. I don't know if you've heard or if you've seen what they're doing to the NFL players that don't get vaccinated. Those that do basically get a free hall pass. Like, they get to live. You know, they get to be maskless. They get to be in the cafeteria. They get to leave the hotel. And the about 30%, at least on the Seahawks right now, about 30% that aren't are being totally ostracized and in even more barbaric than the rules last year. Test every day, wear masks, socially distance from teammates in the cafeteria, can't leave hotel. If you're vaccinated, why aren't you vaccinated?
What I thought. But that was before the Gamma came.
Dory, you're trying to joke. I'm asking legitimate, serious questions.
No, I totally agree. I've been saying this for weeks and months now, that I don't know why anybody cares if somebody else is unvaccinated. If that other person chooses to take the risk, or maybe like you, they have the antibodies.
Yes.
Yeah. Then that's the whole point of getting the vaccine, that you don't have to worry about or care what anybody else does. And that's why I don't understand, and why 70% is some magic number. Jay Inslee says, well, we can't open the state still before June 30th because we're at 68%. Tell me where the science is on
that. There is none. There is none. There is absolutely none. But you've got good, smart listeners out there, and they email you and they text you, and I'm serious. After we finish, if you don't mind, I'm not producing your show. This isn't my show. This is simply a hump day segment. But I'm legitimately want to hear the other side of that, that if you're vaccinated, why would you care? And for these players, why in the world aren't they speaking up, especially those that have antibodies like myself that have had it, and been naturally, you know, develop immunity naturally? Why then should they have to go get vaccinated? Or why in the world do they have to wear masks around their teammates that have already been vaccinated?
It makes no sense. I'm with you.
I'm not even being a horse's you know what. I'm really legitimately reasonably trying to understand that. It makes
I'm laughing because you are beautifully illustrating the absolute ludicrousness of our governor and these organizations. I mean, there's a there are businesses. I'm hearing from listeners every day, Brock, and their business says that if you're not vaccinated by September 1st, you're fired. And they're asking me, is this legal? And I'm getting this on a daily basis from people. And why do the businesses care?
If you're vaccinated, you're protected against it. Since I've had COVID, I've been around numerous people that turns out that they had COVID. And you know what? I thankfully have immunity from developing the antibodies from having the virus. Right. And now I'm being forced in some of my workplaces and being told that, yep, in order to get in some stadiums, in order to get into the press boxes, you've got to get vaccinated. What? How does that? I don't understand that.
No, there's no rationality to it at all. So. You know what? I wasn't planning on talking. I had someone else I wanted to talk to you about. You got to run?
No.
You can stick around.
Yeah, I can stick around. I just got to go mow the lawn afterwards.
Okay. If you stick around for one more segment, there's going to be something special in your paycheck at the end of the week.
Oh,
yeah. All right. Brock, what I really want to talk about is the Supreme Court ruling this week that kind of says college athletes can get extra pay. Mm-hmm. And since Brock is, you know, covers college sports for Fox Sports, I want to find out what this is going to mean. Oh, yeah. And University of Alabama has offered a scholarship to an eighth grader. So we'll talk about those things coming up here on the Dory Monson Show. This bumper is cool, man. Brock Huard is with us for his Wednesday visit. Hey, I'm going to make this kind of a lightning round because there are a few things I want to talk to you about. Do you know who Mattress Mack is? You know about this guy?
That is the bettor. He's bet some significant money in his lifetime.
Yes, he owns a mattress shop down in Houston. Did you hear about the bet he's just made?
Was it $3 million or something I saw?
$3.35 million. On the Houston Astros to win the World Series, and if they do, he will collect $35.6 million.
Did you know there was that much money in mattresses?
Well, he's a pretty good promotional guy, too, and you know, he tells customers, hey, spend $3,000, and if the Astros win, I'll give you all your money back. So he's, you know, kind of parlayed. But I was going to ask you, with all of the professional sports getting in bed with gambling interests now, and there are arenas and stadiums that have sports books in them, do you think we're going to have a major point-shaving gambling scandal with the athletes anytime soon?
Well, who would be the most susceptible? Probably the collegians. I think when that's happened before, when we have seen that, that would probably, and it's probably a decent segue to the NCAA ruling unanimously by the Supreme Court, kind of dropping the hammer on them a little bit earlier this week. So if there was a susceptible audience, I would think that might be the crew most susceptible.
Yeah, because if they got a big payoff for, you know, shaving points, which has happened in college basketball on many occasions. Okay, so what does the Supreme Court ruling mean? Because some people think that it means that it's just going to be like pro sports and colleges are going to be able to pay athletes, but it's a little narrower than that, isn't it?
I think it's a lot more. I do think Justice Kavanaugh's kind of side issue that he wrote into that was pretty strongly worded. And I don't know if he is going to, you know, by doing so, kind of entertain further litigation and even more movement in this case. And nothing is going to happen immediately. There is not going to be immediate paydays. There is legislation in a lot of states, Dory, and I believe 8 of them are set to have legislation on the books for something called name, image, and likeness. So that when I was at the University of Washington in the mid-90s, and there was a number 7 jersey sold in the JCPenney's or the Bon Marché back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. Then in by today's rules and legislation, in a number of states, it is you get a cut of that. You get some of that. The college athletes of today, of the last 20 years, of forever, have not been able to see a cut in their name, image, and likeness, be it jersey sales, picture sales, video games, or otherwise. So I think that is the first and, frankly, healthiest step that I think will help understand this market, understand the marketability of these student athletes. And there are certainly some that should and will, I think, reap significant dollars. But a whole scale change to what is the NCAA, the NC1AA, the NC Division I, Division I AA, Division II, Division III, NAI, all of those mechanisms, I don't see that changing anytime fast.
And so you're back on college football. You're going to be doing the national telecast for Fox this fall. So you think that... I mean, how soon is this going to happen? How soon is it going to have an impact?
Well, this was the first ruling, and the NCAA was supposed to have some meetings, and Mark Emmert, former Fife boy, the president of the NCAA, has asked his committees to really come together and try to find just some national, even within under their umbrella, some overall programming of what they're going to do to handle this name, image, and likeness. So the NCAA has got to, in the next, I think, 7 to 10 days, kind of put their stance out on what they find acceptable, what they think is, could keep a playing field somewhat level and sustainable, and what all of that is going to look like. So I think when we talk next Wednesday or the Wednesday after that, we're going to hear from Mr. Emmert, his committees, the NCAA, on exactly what they can try to do to keep this playing field as level as possible.
Yeah, because that would be sad. And, in baseball, you have the New York Yankees and you have the Seattle Mariners, and the disparity in payroll
Whoa, you watch your mouth now. These Mariners have won 8 of 10, Dory. 6 in a row.
Really?
Okay, they're one of the hottest teams in baseball. They're 3 games over 500.
Okay,
they're a half game behind those Yankees. You watch your mouth.
In the 1 minute I have left,
yes.
Alabama's maybe one of the greatest coaches in college football history, Nick Saban, has offered a scholarship to an eighth grader who hasn't played a snap of high school football yet even. Can that kid have any sense of perspective going through life?
Is that eighth grader stepped out and decided not to play high school football? He's going to sit out until college?
No.
Because that's next.
He's the little brother of a linebacker for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Huh. And I saw a video of this kid. And, against little kids, he's towering over them. And he's bowling them over. And he's running 70 yards with, 10 guys hanging off of him.
But probably don't remember the name Tate Martell, do you? Tate Martell was offered, I believe, as a 7th or 8th grader by Lane Kiffin, by Steve Sarkisian, way back when. He went to, I think, 3 high schools. He's now on his 3rd or 4th college. He's never really played. So, a lot more of that script's going to be written in the years ahead.
Yeah, I just, I've seen this story play out so many times. These kids who are identified, and you were one of them, but you managed a sense of perspective because of your roots and your grounding and all that. But these kids who are identified in, 7th, 8th grade, and they have adults just trying to, kiss up to them and get them on their select teams and all that. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. All right. Brock Heward, you will see him on Fox Sports all fall on the national telecast, and listen to his Above and Beyond podcast as well. Thank you, friend.
Thank you, Dory. Have a great rest of the week, buddy.
All right. Brock Heward with us, Big Lead 2, and Sean's story. Sean DeTore is a crime victim in Seattle, and we're going to find out what happened to him next.